If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
Just a bit of a reminder that what we saw over the weekend from Thursday Night Football to Sunday to a doubleheader on Monday was delicious. And what will the NFL do next? A topic, because it always seems like they up the ante every week. They up the ante around the league every single week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, @LawRadio, also on our Facebook page. And we will, if we find or see any other details, we'll pass them along about the Celtics head coaching situation. The fact that Ime Udoka is reportedly facing a significant and lengthy suspension. He's 1 year into his tenure as a head coach. He was handpicked by Brad Stevens when Brad moved into the front office and took over for Danny Ainge, who went back to Utah. This is certainly one of those moves that would be detrimental to the team, which should indicate to you that it's a big deal. Whatever it is, whether you believe the reports that are out there about Ime engaging in an improper, though consensual relationship with a female staff member, there may be more details that come out. But regardless of what the violation is, the fact that the team is willing to make the move to suspend him for even the entire season, though according to Adrian Wojnarowski, his job is not actually in jeopardy. Well, that may be the case now. But if somebody else steps into that role and the Celtics respond and play really well, I don't know, his job may in fact be in jeopardy. But that's, at this point, way down the road. If the Celtics are willing to make this move, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to them, and it's a big deal inside their organization. The fact that they're considering it, that the players have already been informed, and that it's about to happen right before training camp starts. Do you know that next week is supposed to be media availability, as in media days, for the NBA teams as they start this preseason process? I don't actually know when the first preseason games take place, but we're talking about mere weeks. As I tell you a lot, the only month of the entire calendar year where all four major team sports are playing games that count is October. The preseason starts in the next couple weeks. September 30th, according to producer Jay. That's crazy, but he's right. I'm looking at it right now. Warriors Wizards, Friday, September 30th, NBA preseason. Wow. 6 a.m. That can't be here.
I just noticed that.
That can't be in the United States. That's got to be somewhere else. And then there's another one on Sunday of that same weekend that takes place at 1 a.m. Eastern time. So again, that must be overseas somewhere. They're farming out NBA preseason games again. Did this happen a couple years ago in China? That was when Daryl Morey got Well, I don't think he got himself in trouble, but his comments put off the Chinese government and there was a big brouhaha and whatever, whatever.
This will be taking place at Saitama Super Arena in Japan.
Japan. Okay. Well, at least we'll have to worry about the politics of Japan and how that might interfere with the NBA's operations. If somebody steps out of line, yeah, China was mad, super mad. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So, yes, back to my original point with the NBA tipping off its preseason in Japan coming up in literally days, just over a week away, and the bulk of the preseason beginning in early October, the NBA is about to go full tilt into its next season. And if the Celtics are willing to consider this move right now, that means it's serious and it's significant in the eyes of the Celtics and the brass and the ownership, right? It doesn't have to be a big deal to you. I've seen some really asinine comments about how the only thing Ime Udoka did was have a work wife. First of all, that's gross. That phrase is ew. It's so disrespectful. I hate it. But that's not the point. The point is not the relationship. The point is that whatever he did, it violated team rules. Though I can't imagine the Celtics are thrilled with the fact that he's been in a long-term relationship with a woman with whom he has a child, and they are a family of four that moved to Boston together. I don't think officially married. From what I could tell, he and actress Nia Long have been engaged for 7 years, but never did tie the knot. But regardless, it's a long-term relationship and a family. And I can't imagine the Celtics are thrilled with the choices that their head coach has made, especially as the news will break. But regardless of what you think of his morality and his decision to engage in this relationship, the Celtics would be suspending him because he violated team rules of some sort, not because of the relationship itself. But they're willing to take this step, a significant step that will be detrimental to their team because it's that big of a deal. And so we'll wait for more details, more announcements. I mean, potentially we would be hearing from Brad Stevens at some point. I can't imagine you make a move like this without the head of your franchise speaking out. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jade McCarthy, former SportsCenter anchor and NFL Sunday Countdown feature reporter, now has got some brand new ventures, and one of them, very intriguing. A chance to see football through a completely different light, but I'll let her explain. So this is neat. We've been working on trying to get this interview for quite a while. It's looming on the horizon. And no, I don't mean home run number 61 for Aaron Judge or home run number 700 for Albert Pujols, though those definitely are looming, which is why you don't want to miss out. Definitely have FOMO when it comes to Aaron Judge or Albert Pujols right now. But it's looming and it makes me sad. Roger Federer has just one match left. He has announced, and we knew that his retirement was coming and that the Laver Cup would be his last professional appearance. And he's announced that it will be one doubles match. That's it. So no singles matches for him. Instead, in London, gosh, there's a lot happening in London these days. In London, he's hoping that he'll be able to get out there in one doubles match, probably on Friday night. This is a serious competition, by the way. It's between Europe and the rest of the world. So players usually have to do one singles match and one doubles match. But Federer is not going to compete in singles, it sounds like. Instead, he's just wanting to be healthy enough to go out there and play with Rafael Nadal, which is really neat. The two of them have developed quite a relationship. over the course of their competition, their head-to-head, the number of times they've met in championship matches or semifinal matches in the Grand Slam tournaments. They define an era of men's tennis, Roger and Rafa. Someday there'll be a movie about them their way there was about McEnroe and Bjorn Borg. I combined his first name and last name. That actually was a good movie. I really liked that movie. You didn't realize about John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg that they were really good friends. As much as they wanted to beat each other's brains out on the tennis court, they were very good friends. And that's the case with Rafa and Roger. But it's still bittersweet for me because I love Roger Federer, everything that he represents. He's not only classy and gracious and a perfect ambassador for the sport of tennis, but he's so much fun to watch. He was dominant on all courts as a true champion, a shot maker, creative with his tennis racket, and beloved too. And as he retires because of these multiple knee surgeries, I think it's hard to hear him reflect as though his career is in the past now, even if he does stay involved in tennis, to not ever see him on the court again, and sadly to not ever see him get a proper goodbye. To me, that's tough, though obviously don't want him to be in any pain.
I'm proud of how far I've come, because I know that this was something I really struggled with early on. I was criticized a lot, heavily, maybe sometimes even unfairly or unfairly, whatever it is. Why wouldn't I fight more when losing? Because they thought when I lost, I didn't give it all I had, even though I care probably more than most players. So I didn't quite understand what that meant. Do I have to grunt? Do I have to sweat more? Do I have to shout more? Do I have to be more aggressive towards my opponents? What is it? It's not me. I'm not like that. It's not my personality. And a lot of people then told me, well, you have to be tougher and not so nice, maybe. You know. And I tried, but it was all an act. And I said, well, I'll try it a nice way. Let's see where it takes me. And let me try to just be normal and be myself. And I'm very happy I was able to stay authentic and be myself for this long. Of course, I had to adapt to all these different curveballs being thrown at me, but I'm very happy I was able to have a good relationship with players, tournament directors, press as well, and that's why I think I had as much fun on the tour as I had.
20 Grand Slam singles titles, and for a while that was considered the gold standard. But Rafael Nadal, not only has he dominated the French Open like no tennis player ever before him, but he is now past Roger Federer, even though he's had his own injury issues because of the style of tennis that he plays and how much pressure and effort with his physical body. But now Federer has become third place. Novak Djokovic has passed him as well. It's crazy. This era of tennis, we're seeing three of the greatest of all time. And no doubt they've pushed each other. No doubt each of them has won more and has been more successful at his craft because they each had to compete with the others. So what will Roger miss most about pro tennis?
I think it's how it goes in life. You know, so I don't want to say love, hate, but the things you will miss, you're happy you're not having to do them again. You know, I love tying my shoes, getting ready, putting the bandana on and saying like, okay, look in the mirror, like, okay, are we ready for this? Yeah, okay, let's go. As much as I love it, I'm happy I don't have to go through it again. You know, having those knots in my tummy, waiting all day, eating breakfast, thinking about, okay, tonight, got another big match. Oh, it's got another 15 hours to wait for it, you know. It's fun, but it's stressful, and it's slow days there. And, you know, a tennis player waits a lot. We wait for the moment for us to go out and entertain the people and do it again. Of course, I'll miss a lot of things. The little moments, you know, after matches, when it's all said and done and the weight drops and you can go for a nice dinner with your friends and team and, you know, talk about other things, you know, than just about tennis. So there's so many things I will miss. But of course, the fans are at the center of everything.
He will always be one of my all-time favorite athletes, and I am so grateful I got to see him compete multiple times in person at the U.S. Open. And it was a point of mine, a point of emphasis for me when I covered the U.S. Open for multiple years in a row to make sure that I was in the stadium for Roger Federer matches. He will be a Hall of Famer, no doubt about that. But if you want to see him compete one last time, the Laver Cup on Friday appears to be it in a doubles match. On Twitter, A-Law Radio also... He apologized like I do for smacking the mic. I don't know if he was apologizing to the mic or he was apologizing to the people for the disturbance. But yeah, he's nice. We all know he's nice, even though he was told not to quite be so nice. All right, coming up, Jade McCarthy, former SportsCenter anchor, who's got a brand new direction and a perfect passion for her career as it's taken a turn. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah. So excited finally to be able to get one of my newest friends on the radio show. Friends, but also very accomplished sportscaster and storyteller and speaker. That's on her Twitter. Jade McCarthy, formerly of SportsCenter and ESPN's NFL Sunday Countdown, is now branching out in marvelous ways in a different phase of her career. And I've been working on her to try to get her here on the show. So very excited to have her with us tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And without further ado, Jade, you're still buried in the football world, even though it's in a different capacity, and we'll get to that. But as we get set to kick off week three in the NFL, what are some of your impressions of the season to date?
You know, the season's been so much fun. And Amy, I have to be honest with you, right? Like, the NFL is one of those leagues that every week you're like, okay, they can't possibly top this. Oh, it can't really get better than this. And then somehow it does. And, you know, I just think about some of the games that we've seen. I mean, probably the thing that stands out the most to me is the Bills and just how dominant that team has been the first 2 weeks of the season. When you look at, they've outscored their opponents like 72 to 20 something, I want to say. I mean, just the numbers are staggering when it comes to what Buffalo has been able to do. I think their matchup this weekend against Miami is one that everybody should have a pink highlighter scribbled across because, you know, it's really going to be a fun one. Two 2-0 teams. It's a divisional game, of course. And I think Tua has really thrived thus far. And sure, there are still questions about that Dolphins team. And there's questions about, you know, Buffalo's secondary. I think if you had to pinpoint somewhere on the Bills that is a question mark, that would probably be it. That was a big question going into the season. And obviously they have fared exceptionally well and the defense has played really well. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the Miami offense has in store for them. I don't think anybody necessarily thought the Bengals would come out of the gate 0-2.
Right.
Or the Titans would come out of the gate 0-2. Or the Raiders would come out of the gate 0-2. I mean, there are definitely some of these teams that you go, oh, all right, well, that's not necessarily how I thought things were going to start. But, you know, I also think that we all know that it's week two. We're going into week three, of course, tomorrow night, and it's early. Like, know the chances of being an 0-2 team making the playoffs. Like, we all know the numbers are not favorable in that case, but there's a lot of season ahead, and there's a lot to learn about all of these teams in the NFL still.
Yes. So a couple of things that I love about this early part of the season, the first month, is it really is a race to consistency. The first couple teams that can find consistency. But also, as much as I do believe that in pro sports, you are what your record says you are, it's kind of humorous to look around and see the teams, not only those that are 0-2, but then think about the other teams that are 2-0. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-0, but they've scored two offensive touchdowns. That's it. And some of the other teams, right? Like the New York Giants, and good for them. Yeah. Good for Brian Daboll, who's got that team at 2-0. But also, it's funny to think about the half dozen teams that are undefeated and recognize that there is a wide arc on the spectrum when it comes to 2-0.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. And I think that there's a lot of truth to be told for that. And, you know, it's funny, Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN, of the 33rd team, who I work with there, he and I were on SiriusXM this morning, and we were talking about the Bucks and, you know, being that 2-0 team and, you know, Tom Brady sort of getting the New Orleans jinx off of his back. Of course, he hadn't won against the Saints during his tenure in Tampa Bay until he finally beat them last weekend. And one of the things that we were really talking about is that Bucks team and their defense and how dominant they can be.
Yes.
And they're likely going to continue to be if they can stay healthy, right? I mean, health is always part of the equation in the NFL. Like, you have to manage to have a relatively healthy season, because by the end of the season, everybody is banged up. But that Tampa Bay defense, I think, under Todd Bowles, really has a chance to be stellar throughout the course of the season. And the reality is you know that Tom Brady's not going to lose you games. So if they can have a stellar defense and they have Brady out there running the offense, then yeah, they're going to be missing some guys, you know, with the Mike Evans suspension, of course, for one game this weekend against the Packers, and some injuries that they're dealing with on offense. But if they can kind of keep that ship tied together with not too many injuries, you have to like their chances of being standing late in the season, if not into Super Bowl weekend.
We're excited to have a few minutes with Jade McCarthy, who has got an extensive resume. She and I actually worked at ESPN at the same time, but didn't cross paths until after we were both alum. She used to host SportsCenter and was also part of NFL Sunday Countdown, and now has branched out into some other really cool ventures. And you mentioned the 33rd team, so why don't we go there? Because that's obviously just a branch of this NFL fraternity. And in describing it, you said it's a leadership group that you're part of, and it's coaches and it's execs and it's players who want to change the way the game is viewed. What does that mean, Jade?
I think a lot of it is sort of allowing people to have an inside look at football, right? So we have all these different executives, coaches, players who have been involved with the National Football League for decades, right? I mean, this is founded by Mike Tannenbaum, Joe Banner, who I've known for a long time. You know, Joe was the president of the Eagles when I was working in Philadelphia as a sports reporter there. And then he and I crossed paths at ESPN, you know, that whole ESPN alum network, Amy, that you mentioned before. Joe and I are both a part of that as well. And so he introduced me to this group with the 33rd team. And now Mike T, of course, is also with ESPN. So there's a lot of little, like, connect the dots here that you do in this world. But really, we are taking people inside football and sharing it from the lens of people who have been on the inside, whether it's building rosters or calling the plays. You know, Marty Morningwig was on with us this morning, and obviously he has a resume that has a lot of stops, and talking to him about quarterback development, and he has great energy, and it's really insightful to have these conversations with different execs and coaches who have been a part of this game for decades. And some of my favorite conversations are about leadership, or are about, you know, how is the league trending and where do you see things moving? And it's really interesting to have these conversations. And it's great to be a part of sharing those conversations, you know, which we do on our website, the33team.com, and which we do obviously on, you know, SiriusXM when I'm on hosting shows for the group there. So it's definitely an extension in a way of things that I've done in my past. And it feels like it's moving forward too, because it's a growth organization, and that's always a fun part to play a role in.
I can't imagine it's a tough sell when you're talking about working with guys like Bill Parcells, who's a Hall of Fame head coach, or Bill Polian, also a Hall of Famer, even Bill Cowher. A lot of the other guys that are listed on the site are Hall of Famers with such incredible resumes. And it's a job, specifically coaching, in which there is so much pressure. There are only 32 teams in the league, so only 32 head coaches at any one point. And my goodness, we seem to be in a cycle where 25% of them turn over every single year, whether you've made the playoffs, whether you have a recent Super Bowl on your resume, like Doug Peterson's a good example, or whether in the case of, say, I don't know, what David Culley, you were handed a train wreck and you did what you could to bring it together, and those guys played hard for you, but yet you were essentially a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, there's no patience in a league where, look, I mean, the reality is that you talk about the quarterback position in the NFL, and there's no patience for developing quarterbacks, but it's a developmental position in the NFL. Like, if you look at where guys are when they first start, like, look at Tua versus where he was, you know, prior to this season. And you know, there's still questions to be answered, to be sure. But if you look at the player he's been for the first 2 weeks, you might feel like, well, he's grown since, you know, last season. And same thing with Jalen Hurts, right? If you look at Josh Allen and who he was his first season in Buffalo versus who he is now as a player, there's dramatic differences. So it's a developmental position, and, you know, there is no patience in the league. And we can't say that enough, Amy. And the same goes for coaches. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and we were talking about the Bucks before, but the way that Todd Bowles got his second head coaching opportunity, you know, after being at the Jets down there in Tampa Bay, you know, came with Bruce Arians, who they've worked together for decades at this point. And I remember being out in Arizona at the Cardinals with both of them when I was at ESPN doing a feature story on Bruce Arians, and talking to Todd Bowles out there. And, you know, for BA to say, you know what, like, this is an opportunity that Todd Bowles should get, and for it to play out the way it did, I thought was just really intriguing. And I think it's terrific. And, you know, and I hope that Bowles has a tremendous season down there in Tampa Bay. And I think he has a really good shot to. But I thought that was really interesting, because that's not the way we typically see a handoff in terms of head coaches in the NFL.
Oh, Bruce Arians always has to do it his own way, which is one reason why he's been successful, to be sure. So Jade McCarthy hosts these shows with the 33rd team on SiriusXM Wednesday and Friday mornings, 9 Eastern, and also on NFL Radio. Also on Fantasy Sports Radio Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern. And so that's one big venture that Jade McCarthy has embarked on. But there's another one, which actually includes one of her favorite things in the whole world. So hang on a little more with Jade McCarthy following this break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spending a few more minutes with Jade McCarthy, new friend of mine. We were colleagues in the past. We never crossed paths. So I'm thrilled that we were connected by a mutual friend a couple months ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And before we leap into Jade's other really cool venture, I want to tell you what it says on her Twitter, at Jade McCarthy. There's a gorgeous photo, Jade, by the way. And you list, in order, speaker, storyteller, sports broadcaster. And I appreciate that sports is on the bottom line there. But it's clear that you have some passions that you want people to know about and that you have the new opportunities to share. I find that storytelling is an art. And when you understand it, it really becomes a part of your soul. So what do you love about storytelling itself?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have always loved storytelling. I think I fell in love with it as a kid. I mean, it just always felt like it was going to be in me. And I love how you say it becomes part of your soul, because I think it does. And, you know, if you craft stories, and I've done it in different ways, you know, I've done feature stories for television, for gosh, probably more years than I'd like to admit. But, you know, there's that medium of telling stories. There's writing and telling stories. And yes. I've been doing some more writing more recently. And I just do know that there is something fulfilling in my soul when I complete those stories, you know, whether it be on, you know, on a computer or seeing a feature come to life on a television screen or finding ways to share people's stories. That's just always been a part of me. And it does have a great fulfillment attached to it for me. There's something really special about it. And, you know, I remember years and years and years ago when I was a young reporter in Alabama, a photographer that I worked with said to me, you know, when we walk into someone's house or someone's school or whatever it may be, when you're telling somebody's story, that is like, it's their story and they are the most important person at that moment. And it doesn't matter like what else is going on in your life or anything
right.
else. Like, it's all about them at that point in time. And it's funny, like, you know, over the course of my career, like, I definitely had people say to me, like, can you insert yourself into this story more? Or can you be a bigger part of this? And I always felt like, but it's not my story. Like, I'm telling somebody else's story, you know, in this particular instance. And there was something that was really to be treasured about that. And making sure that you identified who that person was and really trying to have them come to life and have them come across, whether it be the screen or the page or, you know, the radio, if it's something that you're just, you know, closing your eyes and trying to paint the picture of that person.
Jay McCarthy is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, and she has a variety of ways that she can tell stories, part of the Sports Spectrum family. Now, Sports Spectrum with Jason Romano, I've been on his podcast a couple of times. He also does a great job giving people a platform to tell stories. But your particular adventure with Sports Spectrum is called Transformed, and I'm going to let you tell us the story behind that story and why this is so important to you.
Yeah, so Jason and I, again, crossed paths at ESPN. We actually did work together some there, but we didn't know each other super, super well. We got to know each other more after ESPN. And one of the things that I shared in a blog post, you know, 1 year after I was laid off by ESPN, you know, a number of years ago, like 100 of us were all laid off on the same
right.
day. And one of the things that really helped me get through was leaning more into my faith. And I got really involved with my church. And so I wrote about it, you know, 1 year after the layoff. And Jason read it and reached out to me and said, hey, will you come on my podcast? I'd love to share your testimony. And I said, sure. So, you know, I went on his podcast and we just kind of kept talking from there. And he was like, would you ever be interested in doing any podcasts for us? And I was like, yeah, that could be fun. And, you know, it was a neat way to kind of reconnect with different people and have sort of maybe the conversation that you had in the hallway at ESPN, but not a conversation that you had on the set at ESPN. Jason and I put our heads together and felt like it would be, again, just a fulfilling thing for me to do and something that the Sports Spectrum family was interested in having me do, a podcast for them. It's called Transformed with Jade McCarthy. And I have always, sort of like we talked about with storytelling, Amy, I have always loved those pivotal moments in life. And in sports so often it's like, okay, what's going on, you know, beyond the lines that makes us really interested in this person. And, you know, I always use the Olympics as an example for this because for the most part, like if I just threw curling up on your television screen or if I just threw a bobsled race up, like you might not be like, oh, I can't wait to watch this. Right. But when you know the story of the guy who's in the bobsled and where he came from and what he's overcome to get there, then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, man, I want to see how this goes.
You're invested.
So, yes, it completely invests you. And NBC does a terrific job with these stories, you know, Olympic in, Olympic out, like they always do them so well. And it, you know, it's something that I think makes us all care because, like you said, it invests us in that particular race or competition. And so I've always really enjoyed sharing those stories. And for me, the chance to tie in that faith component, which I have found is sometimes a really significant part of somebody's life and why they operate the way they do, or, you know, why they have gotten to where they are, right? Like, it has gotten them through different aspects of life and different challenges. And we all face different challenges in life. We all face different troubles in life. But it's how we face them and with what faith we have that helps get us through them. So the chance to be able to share those opportunities, those conversations, and really provide what I hope is an opportunity for our listeners for when they have maybe those moments of transformation come in their lives is something that really excites me. And it's also great because it does, you know, it lends to, like I said, connecting with some of the people that,
yes,
you know, I worked with along the way at ESPN. I mean, Brian Dawkins came on recently on Transformed, and gosh, everything with Doc is so motivating. I mean,
he's really so passionate.
He is. And like, I mean, you just want to run through a wall for him. Like, you just do. I mean, there is just no doubt about it. I'm so fortunate that he came on Transformed, and he and I had shared a conversation for the Sports Spectrum podcast probably about a year ago as well. So I'm, you know, really grateful that he makes the time when I say, "Hey, Brian, would you do this?" And just to share those conversations with others. So it's really been a rewarding venture, and it's something that has been on my heart to have those conversations and to be forward about my faith and that aspect of my life.
I can imagine now looking back, you recognize what a turning point it was when your career took that drastic turn and you were part of layoffs. But I often love when people look back at a moment that maybe it was a turn. It was something they weren't expecting. It was a curveball, if you will. And yet what came after that, we can see that moment as an opportunity, actually, more than it was at the time feeling like it was a negative or it was a failure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what's so interesting is that when change happens in our life, it's all through the lens in which we view it, right? Because whether you take a new job or you lose a job, there's change coming. It's just that you're viewing it a different way when it's something that you choose. And I think so often, you know, if we can take a step back and, you know, take off either the rose colored glasses or the glasses that you want to put on to hide from a bad day, you know, it just means, okay, like, if I don't like what I'm dealing with right now, or if it's not working the way it needs to be working, then I just need to find a way to create more change. Accept the change that has happened, whether I chose it or not, and find a way to move forward in a way that is going to be, you know, beneficial for those around me and myself.
It is honestly, as you point out, all about perspective, but also I think that hindsight is so powerful, because when you can look back and see how at one point in my life this happened and yet it led to this, sometimes it gives you a perspective where, okay, not every change, maybe it wasn't expected, but not every change is a negative. And I survived that and it made me stronger, or God brought me through this and look where I ended up and look what plan he had for me. Yeah, it definitely is. I think that comes with age too, which is one of the reasons why I tell people I don't mind being old, because what I know now versus what I knew when I was in my 20s.
yes, totally. And I do think that, like, you know, being reflective of that faithfulness is so important, right? Because, you know, there's always going to be challenge. There's always going to be trouble. That's just part of this world that we live in. And to be able to look back and go, okay, you know, I'm dealing with this now, but if I reflect on what God has already brought me through, then yes, he can bring me through this too. So I really think that introspection and that recognition of what has already come can help get us through, you know, what currently is, and, you know, and like, don't even get into like what will be, because there's enough that like we're all dealing with on like one particular day to not have to like think way too far down the road.
Oh, it's so true. I'm actually glad I don't know the future, because I think that would be way too overwhelming. So if you would like to be inspired more, Jade McCarthy's Transformed is on the Sports Spectrum platform. And not only do they have a Twitter handle, but if you go to Jade's Twitter at Jade McCarthy, you can see links there. And the Brian Dawkins, you want to be inspired. Well, okay. And also a recent conversation with Bryce Young's dad, Craig. In addition, it's the 33rd team. I don't know how you have time to do all of this, Jade, but I'm very impressed that you stay so measured, plus being a wife and a mom. Do you sleep, I guess, would be my question.
I do, you know, sometimes more than others. Let's just say it's football season. So, you know, yes, if anything starts to fall off, right, it's always sleep.
sleep is optional. JadeMcCarthy.com. And Jade, I hope we can do this again. Fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, great to be with you, Amy. Continued blessings and best of luck to you.
Thank you. It's funny, when I was talking to Jade before having her on the show, I was asking her about what could I promote? What can I put out there? And she gave me this big long list. I'll do my best, girl. I'll do my best. So Sports Spectrum, they've got not just multiple podcasts, but also a magazine that they've launched in the last year, which I know Jason Romano is really proud of. And Jade mentioned that to me. And actually, Jason is the one who connected us. And so we feel like we've been friends forever. We have so much in common. We're tied in multiple ways. And to be able to have her on the show for the first time is cool. But also that 33rd team, check that out, too, if you're interested in seeing football through the lens of longtime coaches or execs or Hall of Fame players. Ooh, halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.